Today's daf is daf mem gimel. So we got to the very last line of mem beis. Mem beis, the Gemara is now breaking down the Mishnah. The Mishnah had a list of things that there is no shvuah on. There was havadim, shtaros, karkaos, and hekteshos. So on top of that, the Mishnah then said there's no tashlum kefal, no tashlum dalva arba, chamisha, and then the Mishnah said shomer chinam eino nishba. A shomer chinam who denies having watched any of these items, he's not chayv to take a shvuah on again shtaros, karkaos, hekteshos, and havadim. So Gemara wants to know last line of membeis and membeis. Minoha nimile. How do you know this to be true? The Tanya Rabban in the Braisa tells us ki tein ish al re'ehu. This is in the context of shomer chinam. When a person gives another friend something to watch, so the Gemara says the pasuk klal. It's a general thing. You give us an object. That's a klal. That's including everything. But then the pasuk lists kesef or kalim, which is specific, which is prat l'shomer prat, which is a specific example. Then the pasuk says lishmor, which is more general, chazor klal. So we have the concept klal uprat uklal iata dan ela ki'ena prat. The rule is has to be similar to the examples. Ma prat mefurash davar hametal to vegufa mama. Just like the examples brought in the pasuk, which is kesef or kalim, are things that are movable, things that have value. So too af kol davar hametal to vegufa mama. So too only other objects that are movable and have value are included in the chiyuv of shvuas shomer chinam. Yatsu karkaos shein metaltlin, yeah, which of course land is not movable. Yatsu avadim, which is shehuk shel karkaos, and yatsu sharos shafal pishe metaltlin. Even though you can move a document, ein gufa mamon, there is no value to the document. And finally, hekdesh is excluded because re'eyu, because of a special gzeirat kasev, it says re'eyu as opposed to hekdesh. Then the Gemara wants to know, no se schar ein meshalim, a shomer sachar who gets paid, he's hired to watch over something, he's not chayev to pay on any of these items. Minal, how do we know that to be the case? The Tanur Banan ki tein isha re'eyu. This is in the context of Shomer Sachar. It says a klal, a general rule, you give an object to someone else to watch. And then it gives examples in the pasuk Chamor Ashor Seh, which are examples, that's a prat. And then again, V'chol Behema Lishmor, to watch over any animal, Chazar Uklal. We have the concept klal uprat uklal, ad hektish re'eyu ksiv, the same exact drasha as we said above by the case of Shomer Chin. So then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that Rabbi Meir Omer Yesh Dvarim Shein Kakarkav Einu Kakarkav. There are certain things that are kind of like, they're quasi property land, but not entirely. So the Mishnah told us that according to Rabbi Meir, if it's a situation of, let's say, Gefanim Tuno, so you have grapevines that are very, very full of grapes, and the guy admits to only five of them, five of the ten that's being claimed, that's the Shuas Modu Mimiktas. Ah, isn't it on Karka? Rabbi Meir said that, no, that's considered, even though it's attached to the Karka, we view it as detached. And Chacham argues, says, no, anything, Kol HaMechubar LaKarka, Harein Kikarka, in which case, even though it's Shavuos Modu Mimiktas, since it's Kikarka, there is no Shavua. So the Gemara says, now, understanding this Machlokas, Mechlau, the Rabbi Meir Savar, Kol HaMechubar LaKarka, Eino Kikarka. So he holds anything connected to the ground is not considered part of the ground. That so ademiflagi b'tuunos liflagu b'strukos. Why does the Gemara give an example of the vines that are very full of grapes? Even if they were not full of grapes, it should still, even if they're sarik, which is empty, barren, even if they're empty, that should also still be subject to the machlokas, because even though it's attached to the ground, it's not the actual ground. And Rameir holds anything kolam mechubal karka eino kakarka. So why bring the example of tunos afilu besrukos would be metaltlin according to Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Hacha banavim omdos libatzer kemiflugi. Meaning, in general, Rabbi Meir holds that if it's connected to the ground, it's actually kikarka. We're talking about specifically grapes that are ready to be detached, grapes that are ready to be gathered together. So if they're omdos libatzer, they're omdos to be harvested, so then Rabbi Meir savar kibitzuras damyam. Since it's prepared to be broken off, we can view it already as being detached. So Rabbanan argue, Rabbanan savre lo kibitzuras damyam. Rabbanan hold, so long as they're still attached to the ground, they're considered kikarka. But again, Rabbi Meir holds, since they're omate to be broken off, omate to be harvested, we view it as already being separate, in which case you'd be chayiv, it's considered mitaltalin. Okay, a lot of interesting things going on here. There's a lot of achronim here. So let's discuss, let's first move to, let's look at Tosfos first. Tosfos writes that kibitzuras damyam, nirin dileinin Shabbos l'chuliyama lav kibitzuras damyam. With respect to Shabbos, everyone agrees it's considered attached to the ground. Even Rabbi Meir will agree that way, and there would be an iser of koter to remove a grape. Ah, it's so full, it's ready to be plucked off. Doesn't make a difference, legabe Shabbos. This whole discussion here is only legabe shuas modeh b'miktas. And with respect to, says Ra'a Tosos, uke mechuboros dami, fine. Degamar mektira simimanim, because the whole source of ktira on Shabbos is learned on ktira simimanim, which is the removing, the cutting the herbs and the dyes. When would they cut the herbs off and the dyes to make it into colors? That was when they were ready to be removed from the ground. That's dafka when they were te'unos, when they were full and ready to be taken off. So since the source of simimanim is omdos libitzuros, so to Shabbos, it's, even if it's omdos libitzuros, it's still going to be chayv ktira. But le'inyan bal chov, when it comes to bal chov is collecting money from someone else, a person of Baal Chov is coming to collect. He's allowed to collect from a guy's property, karka, but he cannot collect from a guy's metalton. That's not meshubad in the Baal Chov. So how do you view the grapes that are attached to the ground? So he says, everyone agrees in this case that it's viewed as metalton. Even Chachamim agree that it's viewed as metalton, in which case the Baal Chov is not allowed to collect from that property. And he brings a raya from the Gemara in Ksubis, Kidemuchach Perak Nara, Daf Nun Aleph, Gavi Haldamer of Yosef, Zil Havle, Mitamre de Balbudya, the Parach Sof Sof, Kol Omri Ligzos, Kigazadami, Vihava Shach Lepluk, Sadahacha, Mai Kashulai Dilmok Rabban Srilai. So there's some sugi there which indicates that even though it's Kamechubilakarka, since it's Omdos Libatzer, it's viewed as Metaltulin already, so everyone agrees that Balchov is Kimetaltulin. Rabbeinu Hanano argues and says, no, even by Baal Chov, there still is a debate whether it's Kmetalton or not. It's just that Sugya over there is going like, says the Tosos, me, Rabbeinu Hanano, perish dehavi k'Rabbi Meir, dekaimelon hachi. That Sugya is like Rabbi Meir. But we hold like Chachamim, and Chachamim would say, no, if it's even in Baal Chov, it's still viewed kikarkadami, and the Baal Chov would be able to collect from it. Now, the Ritva says there are really three categories of how attached it is. There's one category where it's attached to the ground and still is getting better and it's being enhanced. That, everyone agrees, is kikarka. If it's a situation where it's staying on the ground, connected to the ground, it's going to get worse by staying too long, that, everyone agrees, it's separate, it's considered kimetaltum. If it's something that remains attached to the ground and doesn't get better or worse, it just stays neutral, remains the same, that's where the Ritva thinks the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim is, dafka, that middle case. Okay, there is another discussion here of how you could be mechayev a shua. There's this discussion we saw in Bava Metzia, if you remember this, whenever it comes to heilach, you're pater. If a guy asks for money, you say, modu b'miktas, you say, heilach, here's your money. So heilach is never chayev and shmuel b'miktas. It's right here, come and take it, you're pater from shuas modu b'miktas. So they ask a question, so how come here in this case, how could Rabbi Meir think you're chayev shvuah modu b'miktas? The gefanim are right here. It's all part of the land. It's attached to the karka. Isn't that a situation of heilach? In which case you should say that you're pater. So there's, again, a big discussion here. And what they end up saying is that it's a situation where it's no longer be'en. You don't have the object anymore. You're claiming back the money. You're asking for the damim, the money, and it's not be'en. Had it been be'en, had the grapes been there, einach hanami, you could simply say heilach, and you would be off the hook. Okay, now that being the case, so we say it's a case where you're no longer you're not asking for the actual gefanim, but you're asking for the value of the grapes. So then Rabbi Meir shouldn't he agree that you should be chayv a shvua? I mean, the whole reason why the Chachamim thought you're pater from a shvua in this case of the tunos, gefanim tunos, because it's attached to the ground, this kikarka. But now that we're saying the gefanim are no longer there, you're asking for the money that's been lost, isn't that metaltalin? And now even Rabbi Meir, even rather Chachamim should say you're chayv in a case of metaltalin. You're asking for money, not asking for karka. So it ends up being a big discussion here in the Rambam and the Ravid, when you ask for demei nezek, the value of nezek, if you're trying to replenish karka, then it's viewed like karka itself, even though you're asking for value. And according to others, it's a good kasha, and they have to think of some other way to learn this sugya. Okay, let's go weiter now. The Gemara now says, are we around seven line, narrow lines up? It says two dots. Ein nishban ela davar shebemida shebemishkal. A person's only chayv on something that has a certain measurement. We said this in the Mishnah yesterday. So the Gemara says, Amar abai lo shanu ela damar le bais stam. Only if you say bais stam, that you stam house, you don't specify in the house, a full house of something. Abal amrle bayzeh malay yidia tanasa. So if you say this, you know, this house, so that's saying bayzeh, that's considered a certain midah, that whatever the midah of the house is, that's considered enough. So amrle rava ihachi, if that's true, if you say bayzeh, that's considered a taina on a midah. So ihachi adatani sefer, from the fact that the sefer says ze omer adaziz vze omer adchalon, one guy says up until the porch, one guy says up until the window, chayiv. Why not say liflog v'lisne bedida? Why not make a distinction within the bayis itself and say b'med d'va marmurim b'bayis malei? When you say a house full, that's where it's there's no midah. But had you said bayze malei chayiv? So if a chayiv bayze is really chayiv, it's considered a midah in a mishkal. Why didn't the mishnah give that as a better example of a midah mishkal? So Ella Amarava Rava therefore says liolam einu chayiv achi tanenu b'davar shebemidah v'shebemishkal v'shebeminyon. It's not until you actually claim something that is precise bayze, in other words, doesn't work, has to be ad halon ad haziz, would work. And the yodila b'davar shebemidah v'shebemishkal v'shebeminyon. And the admission also has to be something that has a measurement. But by zeh would not be sufficient. Tanya kavasa di Rava, there's a brayso that supports this opinion of Rava. Kor tvua li biyadcha, you have a certain volume of tvua of mine. V'hala omer ein lecha biyadi, I have nothing. He denies everything. Pater, that's a classic case of kofer bakol, your pater. Azura gedola yesh li biyadcha, you have what, like a belt, right? A large belt in of mine. Of candlesticks, okay. So candlesticks, ein lecha biyadi ela azura katana, it's very small. In this case, you're pater, because it's different things. A big candlestick is different than a small candlestick. It's not the same min ataina. Aval amar lo kor tvua yesh li biyadcha. If you say you have a volume of tvua in your possession, v'hala omer ein lecha biyadi ela letech, you only have a certain amount of that. So there, that's considered a min hataina, and you would be chayv shvuas mod b'miktas. If let's say you say menorah bas eser litrin, a menorah that's a certain weight, 10 litrin, yeshli biyadcha, that you have of mine, and you say back ein lecha biyadi elabas chamesh litrin, it's only 5, so then that case you're going to be chay, because it's a mode of a mixture. You're admitting to some of the weight, but not all of the weight. And the Gemara says, klal shodavar, the Braisa says, what's the principle? The olam ein chayiv ad sheyatanenu b'davar shebemidah v'shemishkal v'shebeminyan. The taina has to be from something that has a measurement, whether it be linear, whether it be weight, whether it be volume. V'yodilo b'davar shebemidah, and the emission has to be something of midah mishkal o b'minyan. So the Gemara wants to know klala shadavar lasriyamai. What's this general rule? Whenever there's a principle, it's always coming to include a case that had not been mentioned. My lav lasuye b'izeh. Malay, is it not coming to include a case of Ba'ezeh Malay? So we see Ba'ezeh Malay, in fact, is considered a Davar Shebemidah v'shebemishkal v'shebeminyon. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Ma'ishna, if it's really true, that's the Raya, sorry. The Gemara says, U'ma'ishna menorah gedola u'menorah katara, katana. We said if I request a menorah gedola and menorah katana, ma'ashatanu lo hodilo, u'ma'ashahodilo lo tanu. So why the menorah gedola case? That which he agreed to, he did not admit to. One asked for a big menorah, that guy admitted to a small menorah, and vice versa. That's not the same thing. And how come your chayv eshua mod mixes by the case of menorah gedola and menorah katana? Ihachi, that's the case. Bas eser bas chamesh nami mashatanu lo hodulo mashahodu lo tanu. So same thing. If it's talking about a certain weight of a menorah. So then, if it's a heavier one versus a smaller one, that should be no different than a gedola versus a katana, right? The Mishnah, the Braisa said, if you ask for a zora gedola and you say you admit to an azora katana, those are two different minim. A big pot and a small pot, those are two different minim. So it's considered pater. But how come when it came to a certain weight of menorah, to a lighter weight, isn't that gedola and katana? But we said a heavy menorah and a lighter menorah you're admitting to, that is considered miminataina. That would be a shvua modem mikta. So what's the difference of heavy versus light and big versus small? Either they're both miminataina or they're both not miminataina. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Barav Yitzchak Hacha b'menorah shel chalyos askinan dekamodile mine. It's talking about a situation menorah that is broken, it has like different pieces to it. It can be broken down to big and small. So therefore, that's why it's considered miminataina. You ask for something that has many different candle holders, and not miminataina something that has less candle holders. You could take it apart and put it back together. So that's considered miminataina. So the Gemara says, Ihachi Ezor Nami Nisni Velokmi. So why not say the same thing when it came to the situation of the Ezora that Lokmi Bidilifi? That's talking about a type of menorah or a candlestick that's made of many different.
Oh,
it is a belt. Okay, good. I was right. Okay, fine. So an Ezora, which is a belt, so that maybe say it's made of different pieces, different patches together, and say, just like the menorah, you could take apart the big menorah, so to the belt, maybe say it's a situation where it's made of different garments put together and take off some, put some together, in which case you are bimode miminataina. So when you request a big belt, I'm admitting to a small belt. Don't say that they're two different minim. Say, I just think that there are less pieces of this belt, and you think that there are more pieces of the belt, and that would be the same exact scenario. So the Gemara says, Ella delifi lokatani. The Braisa wasn't talking about a situation of a belt made of many, many parts. It was talking about a belt of one piece. Tachanami here as well, bishel chulyas lokatani. So too as well, when it came to the menorah, we weren't talking about different pieces of the menorah. We're talking about one piece of the menorah. So then the question becomes, so then how come the menorah, if we're talking about one big menorah and one small menorah, so that's one of the, that's two different minim. How come we said you're chayv shmo demo demimiksas? So the Gemara says, and I'll explain everything, hopefully things will come together. El amar Rabbi Abba bar Mamal, shiny menorah hol v'yachol l'gora ulamida al chamesh litrim. When you ask for a heavy menorah, and I admit it to a lighter menorah, that could be the same exact min. You could take a big menorah and shave down the gold, shave down the silver, and make it lighter. It's really the same taina. As opposed to a big belt and a small belt, apparently they don't think you could kind of cut it down. Rashi says here, look at Rashi, Lagoran lahamidan al mishkal chamesh litrin, you can make it lighter and heavier. Big and small, you can't do that. You can't take a huge menorah and make it down to a small menorah. That can't be done. You have to break everything down. But I could take a menorah the same size and shave down, like the make them smaller tubes here. It will be the same height. I could just make it a little thinner, and that would lose the weight. So anything that you can take that same object and bring it to a smaller object, that would be permitted. But something that cannot be broken down, that's considered two different minim. So too says Rashi, ube'ezor, when it came to the belt, lekilmeimar chata chaymana shere rosha nikarim. You can't say cut the belt in half, because then you're going to see where it's cut, it doesn't look finished at the end, and that will be noticeable. So a big belt and a small belt will not be considered the same item.
Yeah, because the belt is in length and the menorah is in weight, so you're going to just shave off.
Well, it doesn't sound like that from Rashi. Something from Rashi, when you cut down the belt, at the end you can see that's not finished. Now, I don't really get that so much, because all our belts, you could actually take them and
cut
them. Anyway, you put the new thing and make them as small as you want. So maybe ours are different back then. The Rambam actually says when it comes to yirios, when it comes to garments or cloth, you can actually cut that down. Isn't it noticeable? So I guess the point is, when it comes to garments, you could always put a hem at the end and somehow close it off, even though you cut it down. As opposed to leather, you can't really do the same thing with the leather. You could cover it up, but you can't really, you can't fix it as well, maybe. I'm not really sure what the difference is. But that's how Rashi understands it. So again, just to understand the sugi here, anything you need is something that's a davar shebemida, shebeminyan, or shebemishkal. It has to be something that has a weight, either a linear measurement, a volume, some type, set type of measurement. And then when it comes with regards to mimina taina, has to be where the taina and the hodah has to be something that can be transformed from the bigger item to the small item. Either they're shaved down so it's a lighter weight, but if it, even though it might be the same item, but one's big and one's small, and you cannot turn the big one into a small one, that would be considered two different minim and not considered mimin hataina.
And bayezah is not considered to be something to mida.
So it sounds like the Gemara is going back and forth with that. And the fact that the Mishnah doesn't give that as an example sounds like that would not be a good davar mida. But when the Gemara brought the Braisa though that says the Klala is coming to include Baizah, it sounds like that it is part of the Midas. I don't know how he paskin in the end of the day though.
Gemara said it was a Braisa in support of Rava, and Rava seemed to one who was contending that Baizah is not. Right? Because Abayi said Baizah is, Rava said Baizah is not, and then Gemara says a Braisa in support of Rava, and then it says, I love us to be Baizah.
Right. Right though, so that's why it's not so clear with Rava. So unless that was just a rhetorical question, is it not going to be Baizeh? Then the Gemara says, no, it can't be Baizeh. It's coming to include another case. But the Gemara never says what the other case is. The way the Klala Shel Davar is coming to include that Baizeh is not considered Davar Shemimida and is actually Pater. That's what the Klala Shel Davar is coming to teach you. which doesn't sound like that's what it meant. When you read the Brayis, it doesn't seem that way, but that's what the Gemara, how you have to understand it. That even by Zeh is Pater Mishua. Look over for a second at Tosos, Dir Maskel Ella. Tosos writes, Ella Allah Davash Bemida, Perish Riva. Where's the source? We never brought a source in the Gemara that you have to have Davash Bemida. It wasn't brought anywhere. So the Rivaz Mechadesh and Tosos here, the Nira Lid Me'ahi, the Darshin Mebresh Meruba, Salma Lemute Davar Sheinu Mesuyam. The Salma has to be something that's not Mesuyam, that's not defined. Salma, it's unclear what a Salma is, a shirt maybe or something, but something that's defined. Behind you, Shaloba Midav Shemishka Bebaminion. So the Gemara in Meruba says that Salma comes to exclude things that don't have a definition, that don't have a certain measurement to it. So he thinks that's the same source for Shavuot Modem Mikdas, that has to be something that has a Davar Shebe Mida, a Shebe Mishkan, or a Shebe Mishkal. Okay. Let's look now, let's go right there in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, Hamal Ves Chaveiro Al Hamashko, and a person lends out to his friend some money, and he gives a collateral, wants to hold on to a collateral in case a guy doesn't pay, in case a lover doesn't pay him back. The Avot Hamashkon, the bank loses the Mashkon. So now what happens? So Amrlo, Sela Hivisicha, Allah Vishekel Haya Shava. So the guy says that I lent you a Sela, and the Mashkon I lost was worth a shekel. Now a shekel is worth half of a Sela. So I lost a half of what you owe me, so you owe me the other shekel left. So granted you, I lent a Sela, the shekel is lost, you pay me the other half remaining. The Hala Omer, the Lova says, Lo ki ela Sela Havisani, Allah Vishela Haya Shava. So he said, no, you lent me a Sela, and the Mashkon I gave you was worth a Sela as well. You lost my Mashkon, I'm potter from paying you any amount. So since it's not, he's kofer bakol, he's denying everything that's being asked from him. Yes, I borrowed money from you, but you're claiming now, let's say a Sela is $100. So you're claiming $50 from me now, and I say I owe you nothing right now, that's considered kofer bakol, and you'd be potter from a shvua. Let's say it's a case of Sela Hivisich. I lent you a Sela, Alav, the Shekel Hayashavin. And the Malva says the Mashkin was worth a Shekel, so since Shekel's half a Sela, you owe me another Shekel. The Hala Omer, the Lova says, Lo, Kiela Sela Hivisani. I agree, Alav, you gave me a Sela to borrow, but Shlosha Dinarim Hayashavin. The Mashkin was worth 3 dinarim. So 3 dinarim is in the middle. Every Sela has 4 dinarim. A shekel is 2 dinarim. So let's talk in dinarim. You're claiming a sell is 4 dinarim. You're claiming 4. You lent me 4 dinarim. I agree you lent me. You told me the shekel is, the mashkin is worth 2 dinarim. So you're asking another 2 dinarim back from the lova. The lova says, no, the mashkin was worth 3 dinarim. I only owe you 1 dinar left. You're asking for 2 dinarim. I'm admitting to 1 dinar. That would be a case of shuva mod b'miktas. So hayashava chayv in that case. Let's say now the Lova talks first. The Lova says, Sela Hilvisani. The Lova said, you lent me a Sela, Alava, Vishtaim Hayashava. But my Mashkin was worth double, was worth 2 Sela. So actually, you as a bank, you owe me money now for losing my expensive Mashkin, because my Mashkin was double, there's 2 Sela. V'hala Omer, the bank says, Lo, Kiela Sela Hilvisicha, Alava, Vishela Hayashava. I agree, I lent you a Sela, but the Mashkon that I was watching was also worth a Sela. We could call it even. So since he denies owing him any money, that's kofer bakol, that's considered pater. Sela, the Lova says, Sela, Hivisani, you lent me a Sela, Alava, B'shaim Hayashava, but the Mashkon you lost was double, so 2 Sela, meaning you owe me a Sela now, this says the Lova. But Hala Omer, the bank says, Lo, Kiela Sela, Hivisicha, yes, I lent you a Sela, Alava, B'chamisha Dinarim Hayashava. The Mashkon was worth 5 dinarim, so in which case he agrees he owes him another 3 dinarim. So Hayashava, that's Chayv. So again, the Lova is requesting 4 dinarim. He admits he owes only 1 dinar, and there's 3 he's denying. That's a case of Shvua Moda B'miktas. Okay, we're good? The Mishnah now says, last line, Umi Nishba, who makes the Shvua? Misha Pikadon Etzlo, whoever has the Pikadon. The Gemara is going to explain which cases is going on this line. This line doesn't seem to fit in very well here. But who has the Mashkon, who has the Pikadon? That's the Malva. The Malva is the one who has the Mashkon, or is supposed to have the Mashkon. He makes the Shvua in this situation. Now, what's the reason for this? The Gemara says, Shema Yishba Zeh V'yotzi Halas Pikadon. Because maybe the Lova is going to make a Shvua, and then the Malva is going to pull out the Mashkon and say, it's something else. So look at Rashi says the concern is. Rashi says, the last Rashi in the page here, the Yotzi Hala Esam Pikadon. If the Lova makes a Shvua on how much the Mashkin was worth, Shema Lo Dikteh Gzeh B'Shuma. Maybe the Lova wasn't so precise, he didn't remember so much what the value of the Mashkin was, V'if Shalenu Le'edish L'Shvua. And now what happens is, the Malva is going to whip out the Mashkin and say, here's the Mashkin, you were incorrect, and now you disqualify the Lova Shvua, because now he's not trusted anymore, disqualifies the Edis he might bring, fine, there's a concern he might be thrown off. Tosa says differently. Tosa says, last line of Tosos here, just the very last line of the whole page here, Elataima Shema Yotzi Hala Pikadon Vinimsa Shvua Love Libatala. No, what might happen is if the Lova makes a Shvua, and the Malva says, oh, I lost it, here's the Pikadon, you just made it a wasteful Shvua. There's no need for the Shvua from the Lova. So this way, if you make the Malva make the Shvua, he'll make sure he doesn't have the Mashkon before making the Shvua. Only after searching his home and not finding the Mashkon, then would he take the Shvua. So Gemara on to know now at the top of Mem Gimel and Beis, on which line of the Mishnah is this line going? Meaning that last line we just read of who makes the Shvua, Misha Pikadon Etzlo, which stage of the Mishnah is this referring to? Se'ilei Ma'Seifa, if you're going to tell me it's going on the Seifa, which case is the Seifa? The situation where the Lova says you owe me, it was a case of you owe me another 4 dinar, right? You lent me a sela, my mashkin was worth 2 sela, so you owe me another sela now, says the Lova, which is 4 dinar. And the Malva agrees I only owe you 1 dinar, so that's a case of Shuma Modem Mimiktas. So the Tepik lay, so they're telling me, who says the Shua? The one who has to be Kadon, meaning the Malva. So Gemara says, of course the Malva takes it. The Tepik lay, the Shua Gave Malva. Meaning the Malva is the one who's being Modem Mimiktas. Of course the Malva takes a Shua Modem Mimiktas. Why do you have to ask a Shaila? He's the one who's admitting to partial, to a part of what he's being claimed. So that can't be the case where we're telling me that the Malva makes the Shua. That's too obvious. So Amar Shmuel said it must be going in the Reisha case. One of the cases of the Reisha where the Lova is really supposed to take the Shvua because he's Shvua Modem Mimiktas. But since we're concerned the Malva might take out the Mashkon, we flip the Shvua onto the Malva. It's going on one of those cases. So what's the case? V'chein Amar Rabbi Achia bar Rav Areisha. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan Areisha. It's going the Reisha. Which Reisha? My Reisha? Sefer the Reisha. The second case of the Reisha. Remember the Reisha of the Reisha. The first case is where the Malva denied owing anything. Rather that the Lova denied owing everything. The Malva says, you owe me money. Lova says, I owe you nothing because I borrowed a Sela. My Mashkon that was lost was worth a Sela. We'll call it even. That's Kofer B'Kol Pater. But the safe of the Reisha, where the Lova admitted, I owe you something, but not all of that you're claiming, that's Shvua Modem Mimiktas. The Gemara says, what's the safe of the Reisha? Sela Hil Visicha, the Malva says, I lent you a Sela. Allah. Vishekel Haya Shava, and the Mashkon that I watched and lost was worth a Shekel, which is half a Sela. V'hala, so therefore you owe me another Shekel, another 2 dinar. Hala Omer. The Lova says back, lo, Kiela Sela Hibisani, yes, you lent me a Sela, you lent me 4 dinar. But shlosha dinar mahayashava, but my mashkon was worth 3 dinar, in which case I'm chayiv, you have to pay, because you're admitting you still owe 1 more dinar, chayiv. The shvua gavi lovahi, so the shvua is on the lova, because the shvua modem mimiktas, but shaklu rabbanan took it, milova, vishadua amava, they threw it upon the malva, because if the lova were to take the shvua modem mimiktas, there's a chashash that maybe the malva is going to take out the mashkon after the shvua and say, ah, you were wrong in your assessment, and therefore we make the malva take the Shvua instead. Then the Gemara says, Vahasha, now that we have it in a different context, Damar Vahashi, Vahashi says elsewhere, the Kaimulan, Zen Nishbash Eina Bershuso, Vizen Nishbash Kama Shava, so he really thinks that both parties should take a Shvua. First, we make the Malva take a Shvua that's not in his possession, the Mashkon's not going to be taken out at all, and then we make the Lova make a Shvua of how much it's worth, because he's one, the one who's Modem Mimiktas. So then, according to that, Hachikamar, how do you read the Mishnah now? If really both parties are taking a Shvua, there's no chashash that the Malva is going to take out the Mashkon because he already took a Shvua, Sheina Bershuso, Hachikamar. The way the Mishnah is read is as follows. Misha Nishba Tchila, who makes the first Shvua? That's the Shaila, meaning they both take Shvuas. Who goes first? And that the Mishnah is answering, Misha Pikadon Etzlo, the one who has the Pikadon, who's supposed to be watching the Pikadon, namely the Malva. Why? So the Shema Yishbazeh, maybe the Lova, if the Lova takes the Shvua first, how much it's worth, so then there's a Chashash that maybe Yotzi Hala, maybe the Malva is going to take out some Pikadon and deflect the claim of the Lova. Okay, we're good. Great. Mar now says halfway down the Amud here, Amar Shmuel, Hayman de Ozve Alfe Zuzi Lechavre. A guy lends 1,000 zuz to his friend, Umashkin like Kata de Magla. He gave as a collateral a handle of an axe or a sickle of some sort. Sickle, what do they say? Fine. He gave him a handle of a sickle. It doesn't seem like it's much money, much value. It's just something of his. Avad Kata de Magla. Avad Alpha Zuza. So if he loses the collateral, he loses 1,000 zuz. Now, I don't really know the numbers, what 1,000 zuz means to us. I don't know the value of a handle of a sickle is. I don't imagine that they're equal at all. But if the guy loses the collateral, this is talking about a case where there's no shtar, seemingly. But there's no shtar. His only way to collect is based on the collateral. He loses the collateral, he loses the entire money. Aval tarte katati lo. But let's say he gave him 2 handles of a sickle, so then we assume that it's not considered a collateral. If you look at Rashi just to explain here, Rashi says, around where we are in the Gemara now, it says, aval tarte kata, if there are 2 handles given, lo arminan chada kabel b'chamesh mea, b'chada b'chamesh mea. We don't say each handle is worth 500, the other one's worth 500 zuz. The avid chada mina, if he loses one of them, lo lifted chamesh mea, he doesn't lose 500 mea. The halo parish chada bepalga chada bepalga. They never stipulated 1 kata for half the amount and 1 kata for the other half. Ella chervayu kablinu bechada meshkanu. He accepted both of these handles as a mashkan, lo bepiron, and not as a form of payment. V'chevan de mehader le miktas mashkanu. As long as he lost one of them, as long as he returned one of the collaterals, b'mad dechaser minay pater nafshe b'tashumei shavya. So all he has to do is detract whatever the handle is worth. Let's assume a handle is worth 5 zuz. So since he took 2 handles, so as long as he has some of the collateral left, he has the right to accept. You lost one of his handles. So whatever that $5 handle is, you pay him back, you take off the amount that you're going to collect from him. Come as long as Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman argues, he says, no, Amar, filo tarte katati, avid chada, avid chamesh mea, avid idich, avid kula. You take 2 handles as collateral, each one is worth half the value. You lose one handle, you lose 500 zuz. You lose the other, you lose 1,000 zuz. That's how it goes, even though they never stipulated it. But if it's a case, even Rav Nachman agrees, kata v'nischa lo. If you have a handle and then a bar of silver, so then it's not going to line up with each other. You're not going to say half, you know, the $5 kata is worth 500 zuz, and then the 800 bar of silver is worth the other 500. Clearly, it wasn't taken as a form of payment to substitute for the 1,000 zuz. It was really made for a security. As long as he has one of those left, either the handle or the nascha, he's able to collect the amount, but he would still have to detract, if he lost one of the objects, to detract the value of either the nascha or the kata if he were to lose it. But it doesn't mean that each one is worth 50% of the zuz. Come along now, Nahardai Amri, afilu kata v'nascha, avad nascha, avad palga, avad kata, avad kula. They think, no. Each, if you have 2 collaterals, even though the values are very different, each one represents half of the outstanding chov of the zuz. We'll do this last few lines of the Gemara, then we're going to stop because the next piece goes deep into the next stop. We'll just do 5 lines now. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah, Tanan. Our Mishnah says, Sela hilvisicha, I lent you a Sela, alav v'shekel hava shava, and the mashkan that I lost with was worth a shekel, so I owe you now a shekel. V'hala omer, no, lo, kia, I'm sorry, you owe me a shekel, right? I've lent you a Sela, I lost a shekel of your mashkan, you owe me now another shekel, says the Malbim. V'hala omer, the lova says, lo, ki ela sela hivisani alav, b'shlosha dinarim hayashava. I agree you lent me sela, which is worth 4 dinar, but the mashkan you lost was worth 3 dinar, I only owe you 1 dinar. In that case, he's chayv because he's shvuas modem mixas. So le malay ha kapilse. Maybe you should say he accepted. What do you mean he accepted it? We should say that since he lost the mashkon, he lost the entire amount. We said above, if the guy had a kata, he had a handle of a sickle as a security for the elf zuz, you lose the security, you lose all rights to accept to pay to collect the money. So here as well, we should say the same thing. You lost my mashkon, I should be completely pater from ever having to pay the outstanding loan. It was a security for the loan. You lost my security, I don't have to pay you back the loan. So this is akasha on Chita Shmua. And the Gemara says, no, Masnisin bidiparish, Shmuel bidilaparish. Our Mishnah, look at the last 2 lines of Rashi here, bidiparish, einu makabli alai ela bachrayos damav bishavyo. In the situation of Mishnah, where you specified and said, "I'm not the security," we didn't make an agreement. We said, "Listen, that if I lose your mashkon, it's only worth the value to detract it from whatever's outstanding chov." But it's not a situation where if I lose the security, I lose the loan. Shmuel is a case where nothing was stipulated. So it's understood, the Stam case is, if you give a security for the loan, you lose the security, you lose a loan. Our Mishnah is a case where they specify and said, no, if you lose the mashkon, we'll just detract the mashkon from the outstanding chov. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll pick up tomorrow from this piece.